Today's 5/29/2022, and it's the Lord's Day within the octave of the Ascension. Now, the other one, which was gigantic, and I knew this for years, many years, going back 1,000 years. I'm 1,000 years old. I feel like I'm 1,000 years old. No. Anyway, since I come in and was reading the scriptures and all that, the thing I put on the brief on created and uncreated wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
To talk about that. And that's important for several reasons. I remember back when I was in the monastery, and I was only a layman first. I didn't enter yet. And Jerry Matatix was on the thing, and Jerry Matatix was there, and I forget who else, but he was one of the speakers. And Tom Mamel was there. And Tom Mamel thought that when he read Ecclesiasticus and Proverbs, that literally was Mary. You know, when he's talking about, you were with me in the beginning, I created you in the beginning, you were with me in the beginning, you were dancing, I was talking to you in the beginning, you're the perfection of wisdom. So he thought that literally meant Mary. Tom Mamel, I says, no, no way. I said, you can't believe that. I says, the incarnation, she was surprised. I mean, if she was in heaven all from the beginning, there's no surprise. I mean, it's just crazy. And so I said, let's ask Jerry. So we asked Jerry, and Jerry agrees. He says, no, it doesn't mean she exists. See, that's the kind of stuff where the Protestants can get on you, and it's like you're idolizing Mary, you're taking something out of context. And even Jerry told him, no, it doesn't mean she always existed. But he didn't care. He said, she existed. I said, she was created before the whole world, and she was in heaven? What happened? Did she become stupid when she came to earth and forgot that she was in heaven? You know, this is a serious thing. Some people believe this. I said, that means she would have been like either made dumb. Why was she in shock at the incarnation? And it's a heresy, though, anyway. Here's my point, okay? Origen held that heresy, the preexistence of souls in heaven before they entered their bodies on earth. He believed God, the souls are already existing in heaven, and that God, after their bodies are conceived in the womb, he would take the souls from heaven and they would enter their bodies. The whole thing messes up original sin. One was it created? Committed? Was it committed on earth? But if it wasn't committed only on earth, and these souls are up in heaven, how do they become guilty of it? Or are they innocent, and then when they enter their bodies, they've been guilty? But how can an inanimate body make you guilty? So the whole thing is so crazy. This whole heresy of the preexistence of souls in heaven before to create an earth and their bodies was held by Origen. How do you like that one, huh? That's another one. As I talking to Brother Augustine this morning, he can be said to be the origin of many heresies. Origin.
Yeah, why would you want to come to earth?
Hmm?
Gustavo said Mormons believe in pre-mortal existence.
Yes, they do. The Mormons believe in that, and they also have the other crazy things too about baptizing the dead and all that. They get into some pretty hairy stuff. But go ahead.
TJ put up a link to Gustavo's thread on Baruch. It's a Discord.
Yeah. So, Gustavo, you owe me $10. You did a good job on Baruch 3:4. Yeah. See, now, how important this is. I knew this needed to be explained, okay? And it was probably one of the most complicated things to explain, and I knew it took a lot of thought and prayer and all that, and so I've been thinking about doing it for many years. But I'm just saying how God's grace works, though. Because in the meantime, this was one of my last ones I needed to do. I had this one and the one on spiritual Jew versus a racial Jew. Those are the last long commentaries. And in the meantime, this was the big one. And while I'm working online with the brothers, because they got good questions, and we go back and forth, and I'm working on it, it's weird because when you help other people, and when you do your job by speaking to the brothers when you should and helping other people, then God gives you the grace to do this, and you don't even need a lot of time. It just comes out.
Exactly.
You sit down, and when God's ready, man, boom. I said, wow, this came out a lot easier than I thought. Because I was helping there. I was corresponding. God likes what we're doing on here, the way we're working with one another, the way we're perfecting the site, and he rewards you. And this is a reward he gave me because I was able to put this down really quick because if you don't think you can make this like a giant book, like 20 million pages, or if you say it the right way, it could be just like I said it right here. And I knew it needed to be spoken of, because I spoke about Mary's God's Masterpiece, about how God was speaking to Mary figuratively in his mind. Mary, who he knew he was going to create. It's like a person who speaks about a building he didn't build yet. He's got the blueprints. He goes, how do you want to look? Do you want to have something over here? Oh, you're going to be a beautiful building, you know. Do you want me to put a little driving thing over here? And you're talking about the building. It doesn't exist yet. Well, I did cover that in my one book there. But what I got, the thing I didn't cover is that it literally applies also to created wisdom that comes out of God's mouth. The wisdom that God comes out of God. Like if I wrote God's wisdom on a piece of paper, that came from God through me. I wrote it on a paper. Here's the faith. A couple dogmas. That's created wisdom. All right? You can read it and embrace it, and now it's living inside of you. All right? Or you can reject it. Right? But it's not me. It's not me. It's the wisdom that came out of my mouth or came onto the paper. Just when God speaks out a word, his wisdom emanates from his mouth. It's not him. He is created wisdom. He is wisdom. That's why Jesus Christ is called the truth. Remember, Ambrose said in that movie, he says, the truth is not a person constant, it's a man, it's Jesus Christ. He is the truth. God is wisdom. But he's uncreated wisdom. But the wisdom that comes out of his mouth is created wisdom, and you can either accept it or you can reject it.
Yeah.
And if you accept it, it now lives in your heart. And if you accept it and it lives in your soul and your heart, that doesn't make you God. If that was God, that's created wisdom. And if you reject it, it diminishes. It just disappears. It fell on dead. So in other words, that was the part I needed to talk about. That was the part I said, okay, if it's symbolic of Mary, I also knew it was deeper than that. And that's the literal meaning of when God talks about wisdom. I was created before any other created thing. I was created and came out of the mouth of God before any other created thing. Now, the Arian heretics, they're bastards. I don't think I want to talk about that now. It takes too long. But there was a group of, there's like probably 100 different types of Arian heresies in Nestorianism. I don't know, maybe 100 or 50. It's crazy. They get crazy. One of them, like I think the Mormons might believe is, they'll tell you, a group of Arians would say this, that Jesus Christ wasn't created, but he wasn't born either. He wasn't eternally born in a father, but he was made. And they apply some of those verses to God first made Jesus Christ. He created him. No, he wasn't created. They don't want you to use the word created, right? So they're goofy, right? So, and he wasn't born, though. He wasn't eternally born in a father, and he wasn't created, but he was made from the father. So he didn't always exist. And he was the first thing that God made was Jesus Christ, God the Son. But he was made. He's a creature in heaven. And then that creature, God created all things through that creature. That's another form of Arianism. So that when God the Son came down in the womb of Mary, he was never even God when he was in heaven. He was God the Son, but he wasn't divine. He was made by God. And so he came down from, he made everything. God the Father made everything through God the Son, who's a creature. And you used God the Son to make everything. And then when God the Son came into the womb of Mary, he was just a man, a creature. And now he became man too. Before he was like an angel or something up in heaven. Now he becomes a man, but he was never God. He was never divine. That's another form of Arianism.
They call him God the Son.
Yeah. Well, they call us God's sons too. They can use that. You see what I mean? They do. Ezekiel's called the Son of God.
Yeah.
A son of God. That's how they'll get you on that one.
Yeah.
That we're all sons of God. We're all children of God. If you're by faith in Christ Jesus, if you're a true Catholic, you are the faith of yours. That's how they would say. Sons of God by grace and adoption, not by nature. That's what they would say. That's what they would say. Now, what I'm saying is they can misinterpret some of those wisdom verses. I was created before all other things, and for me, everything else is created. He's talking about the wisdom that emanates from his mouth. That first God's wisdom was there before he did anything. Or how is God going to do anything orderly and knowledgeably unless wisdom goes before him? And so that's what he's trying to say. My wisdom came out of my mouth first, and that was the essence and the plan of everything I did. And I call that created wisdom, emanating from God's mouth. I know I didn't put this example in there, but I could have. Like, if you put a piece of tissue paper up in front of me, right? I could blow on it, right? And the air that came out of my lungs and hit that tissue paper, that's not me. It's in me, but I let it out of me, and now it hits that paper and it dissipates. It's not me. But with wisdom, the wisdom that's in God is an integral part of God. And when he lets it out, it comes outside of himself, it's created. And it goes into others. He wants to give it to others. He shares it with others. And of course, all his rational creatures. And he shares this wisdom. So that was the heart. That was the part. I knew about the symbolic of the Church of Mary. I already knew that. I knew Mary didn't always wasn't pretty. I knew that. That was heresy. Yeah. I wrote about it correctly in my book on Mary, God's Masterpiece and the Fall of Lucifer. But I didn't quite get a grip on it yet about how to explain it the right way. And I believe my article, if you read it, did the good job on that. Spacey's got one where he said it emanates from God. And see, here's the other part I want to get into while we're talking about it. It's very important also. I don't know if you guys had a chance to read the article, but you notice how they refer to the Holy Spirit as a woman? Sophia. What's the word they use? I think Sophia or something. But they refer to the Holy Spirit as a woman. That's blasphemy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's heresy.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's masculine.
Yeah.
He's, may you have a masculine child. The Godfather. Godfather, may you have a masculine child. Anyway, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit is masculine, right? But these heretic bastards, and there's some of them are like that, because of the verse we're talking about here. Yeah? They're looking at that as the Holy Spirit, but it says it's created. The Holy Spirit's not created. And some of your heretics believe, that's another issue, Macedonians, I think they're called, they believe the Holy Spirit's not God, but Jesus is God the Son and God the Father the Son, but the Holy Spirit's not God. I think those are the Macedonian heretics that denied the divinity of the Holy Spirit. But what I say here, first of all, if you believe in the divinity of the Holy Spirit, and He always existed, eternally proceeding from the Father and the Son, those verses are talking about created. I was created before all other things. I went before all things. I was working with all things. So, what does that teach us, though? It's the Holy Spirit from which wisdom emanates. God uses the Holy Spirit to emanate wisdom from His mouth into our hearts, and He conveys it into our hearts. So the Holy Spirit is the vehicle in which created wisdom comes out of His mouth into our hearts, and we either embrace it or we don't. So the Holy Spirit is the vehicle in which this created wisdom comes into us. The Holy Spirit is the vehicle. But the created wisdom is not Him. It emanates from Him. And they call it female because she gives birth to wisdom in our souls. She gives birth to wisdom in our souls. And that's why they refer as a he or as a she or a her. Just like the Catholic Church is referred to as a she or a her. Because she conveys wisdom to men through the church, and she gives her grace. So she gives birth in our souls to life. So that's why they refer to wisdom as a she and a her. It's created wisdom. Just like the Catholic Church is referred to a her and a she. It's created wisdom. It's not the Holy Spirit himself.
Right, exactly.
Him, not herself. And the feminists will love this. And the Jews even have some goofy stuff, don't they? About that. Don't they have one something about that the maternal line, that part of God's a woman or something?
Yeah.
Or is a man and a woman?
The Shekinah too, where they, that's where the wisdom they say is.
They believe the Holy Spirit's a woman. The apostate Jews even.
Yeah.
This is big, this art. It's bigger than I thought. And that's why they have the thing with the wives, crazy stuff they believe in. But I really wanted to nail that. It's just bullshit. You're going to call the Holy Spirit a woman?
Yeah.
And they take these verses out of context. Because what it's referring to is the creative wisdom that emanates from God the Holy Spirit. Now we know that God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit's mission is to teach wisdom to mankind, to emanate from His mouth, and He conveys it into our hearts, of which we can embrace it or we can reject it. He first conveys it into your mind, and then if you accept it, then He conveys it into your heart. Go ahead.
God has wisdom of Himself. Once it comes out of Him,
it's created wisdom.
That's the created wisdom.
Emanates from Him. Just like if I wrote, God gives me the wisdom. It comes from God. Created wisdom. I embrace it. It's in my soul. It's in my heart. I'm speaking to you about it right now. Mm-hmm. If you embraced it, I'm not in you. No. That's not me. That's not me. If I wrote it on a piece of paper and you read the paper and you even know who wrote it, and I'm writing just what I'm saying now, and you're reading it, right? And you say, I accept whoever wrote this, I'm going to become that person?
No.
Or the words on that paper are a person?
No. Good point.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kind of like a painting would be, too.
Yeah, like a painting. Yeah, exactly. So you can either take that wisdom or not. Because if it was true that wisdom that emanates from the mouth of God is God, then we will become God if we embrace it. Mm-hmm. You know, we can become like God.
Like,
but we can never become God. And that would mean also, it's stupid.
That's probably where the Mormons get, if they become gods.
If you listen to me, verbally or you something I wrote, you knew it was from me, you can become like me. You can say, I'm like Richard now because I believe like he does. He taught me this wisdom stuff, and I believe like he believes, and so I'm now like him in what we agree upon. I am now like Richard and the parts of wisdom which we both have in our heart. So you can be like me, and I can be like you, and we share, but you cannot be me.
No.
And that's why if you misinterpret those words and people like to believe that, then you're going to become God. If the wisdom that emanates from God and he speaks through his mouth and other people is God himself, it's almost like idolatry or something. It's at least the horrible conclusions. Horrible conclusions. But the thing about the Holy Spirit, where they're misinterpreting that, and they would believe, that's why they believe the Holy Spirit's feminine. Yeah. And they're reading, they're saying, wait a second. And then you got to read some of the I've studied this for years. And it's disgusting. Some people said, well, he doesn't really mean created. It's sort of like, it says created several places. I was the first thing that came out of his mouth. I was the first thing created. It's there. Don't explain it away. It can't be the Holy Spirit. Unless you're a heretic, the kind of a heretic that believes the Holy Spirit is a creature.
Yeah.
A Macedonian could believe that.
Yeah.
A Macedonian. He's a Macedonian nut. What do you call him? Macedonian? He's a Macedonian nut. The Macedonians. The Chalcedonians. Or anyway. So, see how important this little article is? And we're talking about here, it's five pages. And it's a bulwark. It's been something I've been wanting to do for like, I don't know, 15, 20 years. Because I know, I study, I see the arguments, and the only thing I needed to do was how I had to link this, what I'm telling you about now, about Orset leads into heresies. You're going to lead into heresies where either, if that wisdom is Mary, then it's the pre-existence of souls, or if that wisdom is the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit's a feminine, is a woman, and was created. So how do we explain that, right? And then so that's how important this article was. It was big. I knew it was going to be good. Any questions so far on any questions? But when... look, even though when Mabel came out with that, he says Mary existed before she... I went, look, I may not know how to explain the Book of Wisdom. That's heresy, okay? First of all, even if you didn't know how to explain something the right way, you never deny a dogma,
yeah, right.
Okay?
Right.
That's the way our theology goes, our theology. Yeah. You never deny a dogma, okay?
Yeah.
And that he still refused to believe it, even after Jerry spoke to him. And Jerry's knowledgeable. He knows his... Too bad if he converted, he'd be a bulwark.
I still hope
he does. But, and he still refused. He still believed Mary was in heaven. Well, welcome to Origin Club. We'll sign you up to the Club of Origin. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't St. Paul talk to the Ephesians explaining the Holy Spirit to him? I think it's... I read it.
It's more...
Yeah, well, what was it? Was he?
I think it's Ephesians...
Yeah, there. He does
Ephesians
several.
He only has eight chapters.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was something in there. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. He's speaking through the Holy Spirit, given to him to you.
Yes,
and
that's good.
Yeah.
That's it. Let me write.
I don't know if that's the right.
Sister Mary Elizabeth bringing up a point. Something in Ephesians where St. Paul is saying the Holy Spirit was given to me, and now I'm giving it to you. The Holy Spirit has spoken to me, and now I'm speaking to you.
Talking about when he was not with God yet.
How he's conveying it. The Holy Spirit conveyed himself into my soul, and now the Holy Spirit's his wisdom and all that, and now I'm conveying his teachings into you. And then, which is interesting too, the Holy Spirit, if you're in a state of grace, does dwell in your soul, himself even.
Right.
So then God, the Holy Spirit, will go into your soul and dwell there, but that doesn't make you God.
Exactly.
It become like
God.
Yeah.
Now,
even if you're not in a state of grace and you're a pagan, you can still have some of God's wisdom by the natural law, and the Holy Spirit wants you to have that. So the Holy Spirit even conveys wisdom into pagans. He doesn't live in them, but he conveys it. And so a pagan can have like 5 points of wisdom of God and 5 goofy things, but at least he's making progress or he has something. So the Holy Spirit works with everybody. Even unbelievers, pagans, and everything, with the natural law. And he wants the wisdom of God to enter their heart. He conveys it to their heart, but he doesn't dwell inside them. He dwelled also in the Old Testament elect because their sins were covered. He dwelled in a part of their souls where there was no sin. So the Holy Spirit, so if you don't explain these verses the right way, you're going to run into some two pretty crazy heresies there. But, again, if somebody came up even to a 7-year-old cat, real true Catholic kid who knows his catechism, and they said that the Holy Spirit's a woman, he'd spit in your face.
Yeah.
You could quote all, you can try to fool them or trick them all you want by reading these scriptures, but look at this, sonny boy! Look, it says, I was created in the beginning, I went out of the mouth of God, I'm wisdom. I go, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
He's not a woman. He's a masculine. He's masculine. That's the end of it. And the feminists love this. The feminists, first of all, they want to make God the Father a woman.
Yeah.
Forget God. If they can, they start out with God the Holy Spirit. Let's make him a woman.
Yeah.
Transgenderism, right? And then we're going to make God the Father a woman. What about Christ, though? You're going to have a hard time with that. So you're saying God the Son really was a woman but came into the body of a man? The transgenders would love this. It's a field day for transgenderism, isn't it? Your feminists, they call God a woman. They believe she's a woman now. That feminism is a powerful heresy today. You got the Jews, you got the homos and the feminists on the top rank of rebellious people. Disgusting. So now you see how important this whole article was. If you're afraid to read, you didn't read, I don't know if you guys read it yet, but it's gigantically important. And anyway, God gave me the... I just sat down and did it within a couple of days. But it took 20 years of praying, contemplating, thinking, looking at the arguments, knowing what the people believe in. And I wasn't thinking about it for 20 years every day, like 24/7.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it would always come back to me when I'm reading scriptures. And then I knew I had to do it. And so God laid it out. Go ahead.
Brother Rich, you say to read it, but are you going to put this on the... John the Baptist after it gets off Discord?
Yes, yeah, okay. As always. This is going up as a brief.
Exactly.
It's brief on created and uncreated wisdom. It's going in the back of my Bible, too.
Yeah.
Not my Bible. It's my Bible. They're going to get me, right? The Bible I'm revising. It's going to go in the back as a long commentary. Because I knew this was important because I know the way some of these people think. And at the same time, you preserve the figures of Mary and the Holy Church as this, too. It's a prefigurement. And I love that verse on David where I explained it. There's more verses like that. But it's the Psalm of David where he said... the Psalm of David. Holy King David. King David proves one thing. Even if you commit mortal sins and you're quick to and you're humble and you confess them, God will forgive you, forget them, and raise you up again. That was the difference between David and Saul and a lot of other people. He committed some two horrible mortal sins.
Yeah.
But he confessed them, repented, and God lifted him up again. Nothing against the faith, though. But here's where when you look at, I had it in here somewhere. Now, I'll read this. For you guys who didn't read it yet, but you can read it. You should read this. As a matter of fact, you should make it part of your reading. This is Psalm 21:32. Thou shalt be declared to the Lord a generation to come, and the heaven shall show forth his justice to a people that shall be born, which the Lord hath made. You see something wrong with that? A people that shall be born, which the Lord hath made.
Yeah, he's made them and they shall be born.
Ask, you got it. How could they, if they shall be born, how could they be made? So what does that mean in his mind, his foreknowledge? The people that he knows he's going to make. See, here's how I explain. That's a wonderful verse that traps him. If you know, that shows you about God's foreknowledge, about how he knows everything ahead of time, and he knows who you are, who you're going to be. And so I said, in his foreknowledge, we can hear God is recording the Bible speaking. Okay, wait. King David speaks of men that are not yet born, whom God has made. Which in context means men whom God has made in his foreknowledge, but yet are not made. So he's saying people that you made in your foreknowledge, who you are going to make, it's for them too in the future time. That's it right there. And there's other verses in the Bible like that. So we can say, to Mary, who has not yet been born, whom the Lord has made. Now, I know a heart that could have a field day with that. That Tom Amel? See, Mary was made, but she wasn't born yet. And I can see them already thinking up their next thing, right? But that's what he means. That's what he means. So let us listen to Mary converse with God before she was created, before she actually existed. This conversation takes place in the mind of God. Mary speaks of being God's primary thought as existing before anything else created. She says that she was conceived in the mind of God before any other created thing. The following verses then symbolically refer to Mary, but literally refer to created wisdom that emanates from God. God created everything primarily for Mary. Everything is formed by God with Mary in mind. All things were formed with her as a template, the master form. It says, I was with him, forming all things, and was delighted every day, playing with him at all times. And Mary was destined to be created and dwell among men, playing in the world. And my delights were to be with the children of men. So, anyway, it's deep. Well, I get into that in more detail in my book, Mary, God's Masterpiece, which I think I referred them to. Yeah, I did. And you can look at that for more comments. I use that as an example of someone who's building a building. Boy, this is going to be a beautiful building. You're really beautiful. What would you like? You want me to put a little thing on here? You want me to put something over here? You're talking to the blueprint of the building before you even built it. You know what it's going to look like. You can talk to it. You can give it a name. You can speak with it. It can speak back to you. What do you want to be? What else should I put in there? Is everything okay? You know. And God, it's even deeper than that, because in God's foreknowledge, He already knows what He's going to create. So then, when Mary's created, then she refers back to this and sees God's thoughts about her. So people say, "Well, God didn't think about Mary until she was born." God knew about everybody before that. That's why I say primary thought. I don't even say first thought, because there's no first or second. I said primary. It's the highest on his platter of thoughts. If you say first thought, they can use it against you. They say, well, he has a first thought, then a second thought, then his thoughts all at one. That's why I use the word primary. It gets deep. But it's beautiful when you have the faith. And if you guys aren't reading it, you can get in trouble when the heretics come around, maybe, and you got to refute them. Now, you believe in the dogmas, yes, but we're called, not everybody's called maybe to be a theological, a lot of people, but if you are, you got to be reading this. You've got to be studying this. It's more important than conspiracy stuff or anything else. Yes. If you don't do this, then you're not going to have the grace to refute the conspiracies. Not properly. You'll be obsessed with it. You're going to go down the wrong road. You're going to not do it the right way. And God's grace is not going to be with you. So just remember, the faith issues we're talking about, even though they seem a little deep, they're not deep once they're explained. And if you don't want to read it, then you don't care. Then you don't want it. You don't want to know it. That's your own fault if you don't want to read it. You know, I think Brother Derman said, when I get the thing about God Father, he can now understand. If it's explained the right way, it's easy. If not, it's impossible.
You'd be guilty of affected ignorance when you're presented.
And you don't want to study it. Mm-hmm. If it's not explained the right way, it's confusing. Mm-hmm. And you would have every right to sit back and go, I'm staying away from this thing. And you should too, because just hold the dogma in and don't listen, because you might get confused. So, but it needs to be spoken the right way, backed up with some church fathers' teachings and all that, and they have a lot of smart, really good teachings on this. Yeah. And so you look at it and you go, now I understand it. Now it's clear to me. It makes our faith even stronger, even better, even anything that we can reasonably know, we should make an effort to know. And everything that's above our reason, we just accept it by faith. And usually when you accept something that's above your human reason by faith, it opens up your reasoning to other things you could understand. Because you accepted that you cannot understand, then God opens up your understanding to understand things you could understand. So that's, we're almost done here. This is a deepie. As you know, we don't swim in shallow water over here. Everything over here is deep water. Not everything, but it is a deepie. But is it beautiful? When you read it, it's beautiful. Why do you think it's written in the Bible? Jesus, son of Sirach. Oh, I love. If I die, you know, not, first of all, you want to see God face to face, obviously. He's the most that you want to see. Then I want to see Mary and Joseph, the Holy Family. I'd like to see Jesus, son of Sirach, and his Ecclesiasticus. What a book. I think that's the biggest bulwark of wisdom book. Imagine you get to meet these guys. You get to meet them. You know? Like, where are you going for dinner tonight? I'm going to Moses tonight and Jeremiah's tomorrow. Jesus, son of Sirach, yeah, I'm going to be seeing him, I think, in about 4 days. Yeah, he invited me over to play some cards, you know. or you're playing a game of chess or whatever. Yeah, Jesus, Son of Sirach. Yeah. Hey, but if you're playing a game of chess, that's Moses. Hey, Moses, what was it like, you know, when you parted the Red Sea and right before it happened? I mean, how surprised you were and all that, you know? That's when you get to know things that were not, you know, like, you know, these people are trying to know more than they're supposed to know when they're on earth about these false apparitions of Mary. She tells you everything she was wearing. She had a golden shoe with the rose on top of it. And she had a little bonnet that was pink with the thing over here. And she had that, and she, you know, and she had a spatula when she cooked this, and she had a bowl that looked like that. I mean, what's the purpose of all that? That's vanity. Do you really need to know all that? Just know the fake. That other stuff can come later. This stuff is in, I mean... Yeah, there's an interest to a degree, but the way they do it, it's like that's all they care about. You know, you want to know what kind of clothes Mary wore and what kind of cooking utensils she had, but you don't believe she's the mother of God. You might be Nestorius, for instance. Or you're holding on to some other heresy. Oh, but I know what her clothes look like. I know what her cookware looked like. You do want to know those things. It's true. You know, it's not wrong to want it, but that's I don't think that stuff's... If you save your soul, then you find out. Okay, so we're done, really. That, like I said, we're going to be brief. It's 12 o'clock now, right? 12:03? Okay, so I'm going to shut that down. Any questions briefly, real quick, and then we'll go into the mass prayers. And let's end it with this prayer here. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit, hope our nearest and dearest friend, if not for everything in our lives, be directed towards an end, and a thousand matters on that. Thank you, Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, St. Gabriel, St. Gabriel, St. Joseph, and all the angels and saints that have been assistance to us. Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.